This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, stand with me and take your copy of God's Word, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I have entitled this sermon, entitled Broken Together. And today I want to talk about how God can take the broken pieces of our lives and put them back together again, and that even in the midst of our faults and our failures and our troubles within our marriages, we can learn to be broken together for the glory of God and to move on. There may be somebody here this morning that's determining in their heart already that they're going to give up. Maybe you're contemplating divorce. Maybe you're deciding to walk away. Maybe this week you were trying to put the words together on paper to write your mate and tell them that you didn't love them no more, and that you were wanting to walk out on the marriage and you wanted to call it quits. I'm hoping that this sermon will be your salvation to that. I'm hoping that I will be able to put something in your heart and your mind to show you that the grace of God can help you, that the mercy of God can sustain you, that God can help you in your marriage today. If you believe that, say amen. I want you to turn your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we're going to look at verse 12 down to verse number 31 together. The Bible says, and this is Paul writing here, he says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is there not therefore of the body? If the whole body were an eye, or were hearing, if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling?" Verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, were one the body, but now we are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." Verse 25, "That there should be no schisms or no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." I want you to be seated this morning as I talk about this subject, broken together. Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, that you bless the reading of your word and our time together. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say with me, amen. As I said, I'm hoping to help you today to understand that all of us, Butch, you can bring me that water if you will, that all of us have different faults and failures within our lives, and sometimes it's very difficult for us in a marriage relationship to come together and to get together and to overlook one another's faults and one another's failures. And I came across a great story from the 1930s that's going to help to illustrate what I'm talking about this morning. The story behind Daisy and Violet Hilton. They were Siamese twins born in 1908, and their story is one of tragedy, it is one of triumph, and with all due respect, being Siamese twins, it is one of togetherness. The twins were born in 1908 in Brighton, England, to a poor unmarried barmaid by the name of Kate Skinner. She believed the girls were punishment from God because of her indiscretion. The Siamese twins, they finally broke the poverty because their mother had abused them. And when their mother died, the family members had abused them and caused them to be side circus acts. Back then in the early days of America, they called them freak shows. And people would come to the circus and they would watch the two sisters in the freak show or the sideshow. And they were able to come out of the poverty because of that. And eventually, they became a singing and dance act in the 1930s. And even later on, the girls became film stars. The two lead actresses in the film, they had to learn to act together. They had to do everything together. If one decided to go solo, then the act would fail because they were literally joined at the hip together. And so everything that they did, they had to learn to do it together. It didn't matter how, and there was just a bone that really, there were two individual peoples, and there's just a bone at the spine of the hip that actually connected the girls together. If this was in today's world, most likely a separation could have been very successful, but back then they didn't have the medical technology. And so everything they did, they were connected at the hip, and they had to learn to be broken together. It didn't matter how much talent the other had, they had to learn to do life together. If they didn't do life together, they would fail. The success of the show and the success of their career all depended upon them learning how to be broken together. And their life really illustrates and gives a wonderful picture of marriage. Once a man and a woman comes together and they say, I do, and that commitment is given, that man and that woman in holy matrimony, they are connected together. One man for one woman for one lifetime. If they don't learn to succeed together, they're going to fail together. Despite of all of each other's faults, despite of each other's failures, they've got to learn to be broken together. This morning, I want to challenge you this morning and listen. I want you to listen well. I know that many of you may have faults and failures and you're going through difficult times in your marriage and your mate can't get beyond the faults and failures that you have. Maybe they're judging you. Maybe they're upset with you. It's been a point of contention. I want you to know that all of us in this room, we are nothing but sinners that are saved by the grace of God. And the best thing that we can learn to do with one another is learn to be broken individuals together, broken over our sin, understanding our broken depravity, and understanding that only God is the glue that can keep our marriages together. If you believe that, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and a house of God. I want you to listen to Paul's words about broken people, because there's nobody in this room that's perfect. Now, you may think that you're perfect. Well, I got news for you. Nobody in this room is perfect. There's only been one perfect person, and that's been Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to Paul's words about broken people. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, he gives these words. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived," listen to this, "neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." These individuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, "And such were some of you." You need to realize today that we are all just sinners that are saved by the grace of Christ. We will not get to heaven on our own. But because of the righteousness of Christ, because of the blood of Christ, because of what God has done for us, he has washed us and made us clean. And such were some of you. This is who you were before coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You were broken and shattered in your life. Sin had destroyed you. But by the grace of God, Paul says in verse 11, "But ye are washed." Hallelujah. You are sanctified. Hallelujah. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Were it not for the grace of God, were it not for God's love and God's mercy and God's hand reaching down and saving me and saving you, we would be on our way to hell. But aren't you glad tonight that Jesus saves? Aren't you glad tonight that no matter what happens in your life, God can take you from the mire to the choir and write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can know that when you die, you're going to heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah to his name. Broken together. Living as broken together in marriage speaks of several things. Number one, it speaks of mutual acceptance. If you're going to live a life broken together in marriage, understanding that each one of you have faults and failures that you're going to have to deal with. There's going to be situations and challenges that you're going to have to deal with because of the individualness of each member within the marriage. You need to learn that living broken together in marriage speaks of, number one, mutual acceptance. You have got to accept one another, warts and all. Somebody say amen. You have got to accept one another despite the faults and the failures and the mishaps and the things that are going on. You have got to learn to look at one another and have mutual acceptance. In that marriage, there needs to be unconditional love. In that marriage, there needs to be sharing and there needs to be helping. And in that marriage, there needs to be forgiveness and tenderness. You may be sitting here today and you say, Brother David, you just don't realize my mate has messed up so bad. It's a point of contention. They've said they're sorry a million times over. I don't know what I need to do. I can tell you this, take their name to God in prayer and you pray for your mate. I'm not talking about an emoji symbol. I'm not talking about texting it and saying that you're praying. I'm talking about getting down on your hands and knees and realizing there is a spiritual attack on your marriage. And the devil can be using your mate. Listen, your devil can actually use your mate and his faults and his failures, or her faults and her failures, to keep you discouraged and to keep you upset and to keep turmoil in the home. The only way to do spiritual battle is with spiritual weapons. And you've got to fall down on your knees and begin to cry out to God and ask God to change her heart. Ask God to change his heart. Ask God to make your marriage better, broken, together over the things within your lives. You need forgiveness and you need tenderness. I agree with one writer who said, if the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, surely the same can be said to be true of the a corporate relationship of a husband and wife. The chief end of marriage is to glorify God and find in him and in their union enjoyment forever. I want you to look at your text this morning as 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And this morning, I want to look at Paul's words. His words in chapter 12 talk about acceptance. They speak of love, unity, harmony, and above all else, togetherness. They talk about togetherness. He says that the way that believers show the love of Christ is to live out their purpose, joined together as the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, in ministry speaking, and not in marriage, we are the body of Christ. And we are joined together, and God wants us to come together in one mind and one accord, working with one another. Your name may not be in the bulletin. You may not have an office in the hallway. You may not hold a leadership position, but I want you to know that every single person, whether it's the pastor all the way to every single pew, listen, every single person is important within the body of Christ. We are not only believers, but we are also the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, carrying out a function, telling the world that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Somebody say amen. Paul says we are the body of Christ, and he wants every believer to see themselves joined together to the body of Christ, working together for the same goal. And the goal for all of us in this room is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. My goal and your goal is to make Christ known, to tell people that Jesus saves. What's true of the body of Christ is true in our marriages. Each couple, each individual, you need to see yourselves joined together. Joined together in holy matrimony. As the body of Christ is joined together in unity with Christ, so in holy matrimony, you are joined together in holy matrimony in the eyes of Christ, body to body, soul to soul, spirit to spirit. The Bible says you become one flesh. You are joined together in holy matrimony, and you ought to be working for the same goal, that Christ will be seen in your home and in your heart as you are walking hand in hand, not only with one another, but also with him. If you believe that, say amen. And so the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is basically talking about ministry, the body of Christ coming together and doing ministry together. I want to take a look at the text today, and I want to look at it from a marriage point of view. And just like the body of Christ is to come together and we are to work together, so a couple in all of their brokenness and all of their mishaps and failures, they need to learn to come together under the banner and love of Christ and work together for the honor and the glory of Jesus. If you believe that's true, I want you to say amen. I want to give you three things this morning, and I'm going to call it three realities. Three realities of those who are committed to be broken together. Those three realities of those who are committed, saying, "Preacher, that's going to be my marriage. We are going to learn to be broken together." Number one, unity is manifested. The first reality is in your marriage, there is a unity that is manifested. Paul says in chapter number 12, verses 12 and verse number 13, he says, "For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into that one Spirit." Paul is saying this. He's saying it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter what nationality you have, that every man, woman, and boy and girl can come to the foot of the cross and ask God to save them, and they all have been invited in to the wonderful family of God. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody say amen. That all of us can be saved, no matter what our background, no matter what our age, no matter what our economic status, all of us can be saved by the wonderful, magnificent grace of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we become one within the body. What is true in ministry is also true in marriage. We become one. And unity is one of the things that needs to be inside the heart and home of every single marriage. By unity, I mean a oneness of heart, a connection of purpose, an agreement of truth. By unity, I mean a connection of purpose, an agreement of truth, a oneness of heart. You know, I was reading some history, and I found that where our founding father signed the Declaration of Independence, that Benjamin Franklin stood up and said, "Gentlemen, now we must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately." He is saying we've got to be together on this or we're going to fail. And I want you to know that in your marriage, you're going to have to be together or you're going to fail. You need to know that Satan's strategy to defeat the home is to divide and to conquer. He wants to divide you. God wants to unite you. God wants to bring you together under the banner of his blood, under the banner of his mercy and grace. God wants to bind you together. He wants to be the glue that holds your marriage together. But the devil is doing all that he can to divide you and to conquer you. However, the devil is no match for the power of Christ. Somebody say amen. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what's going on in your marriage. It doesn't matter how heated the moment may have been. Christ can take what is broken and bring it back together. He's got the power to prevail. Somebody say amen. Regardless of how long a couple's been married, regardless of how popular they may be within the community, regardless of how much money they may have in the bank, regardless of how visible they may be in the church, you need to know that Satan can divide marriages. You need to know that the devil is wise and that the devil can divide and the devil can conquer. All it takes is one partner saying, "I'm going to go solo." All it takes is one partner saying, "In this brokenness that we are facing, I'm going to go my separate way." Or we can be like those Siamese twins. In our brokenness, we learn to work together and to move together and to manage together for the glory of Christ. You need to take note of Satan's strategy to defeat your marriage. Listen to me, and listen to me well. He's got three strategies up his sleeve. Number one, Satan's motive is division. He's wanting to divide you. Satan's method is deception. He wants to lie to you. And Satan's mission is destruction. He wants to destroy you. If he can get into your heart, into your home, into your head, and he can lie to you, and he can deceive you, and he can put things in your heart of animosity and anger and bitterness by lying to you. Listen, the power of the devil is in the lie. Listen to me. The power of the devil is in his ability to lie. That's his greatest power. The Bible says that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that God shall send them strong delusion to believe a lie. The lie will be the Antichrist. His power is in his ability to lie. And he lies to you. He tells you that you're no count. He tells you that you're worthless, that you can never get out of the mess that you're in. You'll never break away from that habit. You'll never stop saying the words that you say. You'll never stop doing this or doing that, and you cannot break away. And he lies to you, and he tells you that you're trapped. I want you to know you are not trapped. By the grace of God and the power of Christ, God can rescue you. Somebody say amen. Unity has to be manifested within the home. Satan cannot defeat a couple who trust Christ broken together. Like a battleship that is raging war on the sea, every plank is covered, every side is protected. There is fresh wind in their sails. Even the gates of hell cannot prevail against a united marriage in Christ. You know, I was reading it this past week and came across, it was a humorous illustration, but it certainly gives the point to what I'm talking about. There was a guy who decided to go deep sea fishing, and he couldn't swim. And unfortunately, as he was deep sea fishing, the fish was bigger than him and pulled him over the side of the boat. And so he's out there flopping around like a fish, and he's drowning, and the captain is trying to rescue him. And so the captain reaches down, and he grabs, he says, give me your arm, and I'll pull you back in. And he grabs his arm, and he gives a tug, and his arm comes off. He had an artificial arm. He didn't know that. And so the guy's down there flapping around with, you know, one arm now, you know, around and around. He's drowning away. And so he's like, hey, give me your leg. And he grabs his leg and he pulls on his leg. And guess what? He's got an artificial leg. And so now he's kind of like this, you know, and he's in there and he's drowning and he can't get up. And so the captain just reaches down and grabs him by his hair. You know, just reaches down and grabs his hair and gives the guy a tug. Guess what? He pulled his hair off. The guy had a toupee on. And the captain looked at him and said, hey, if you can't stay together, I can't help you, right? Corny, I know, but it certainly illustrates the point. If you can't stay together, then God can't help you. If you can't stay together, then the pastor can't help you. You've got to learn to stay together. You need to know that the road to a healthy, happy, and holy marriage is paved with several things. Number one, it's paved with mutual love. You have got to come together. You have got to learn to love one another. It is mutual labor. You've got to work together. Mutual loyalty. You've got to stay together. And there should be a mutual longing in your heart. You've got to worship together. Somebody say amen. You've got to love together, labor together. You've got to have loyalty. And you've got to have a longing in your heart that we're going to put God first in our lives. If he doesn't have the preeminence, I'm not giving him a place of prominence. I've got to give him the preeminence. And when he's got the preeminence, God will take what's broken and God will put it back together. If you believe it, say amen. So the first reality is this. You've got to have unity is manifested. But looking a little further in the text, verses 14 to verse 25, we find that diversity is maintained. Diversity is maintained. Now in 14 to 25, we read the text. You'll find that Paul is talking ministry-wise. He's saying there are different strokes for different folks. There's difference in giftedness among the body of Christ. We are all not the same. Now, we may be one in Christ, but there's not a sameness. God's not cutting out cookie-cutter Christians. Some would say amen. That we all look alike. We've got the same haircut. We've got the same style. We've got the same vernacular. We've got the same this and the same that. God delights in diversity. The other night when I was coming home, and many of you I've seen on your Facebook page, you posted a picture of the rainbow that was in the air, and it was beautiful. And on my way home, the rainbow was just right on the other side of my house, and like it looked like it landed in my yard. And I went out there, folks, I hate to tell you this, there is no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I look, man. It's not there, but it was beautiful, right? And in that rainbow, there's a diversity of color. When you look at the mountains in the fall and all the different variety of colors, and you go to the Smoky Mountains and you stand up and you look at that, it looks like a big bowl of fruity pebbles that's laying out there, doesn't it? It looks gorgeous that's out there and all that diversity that is there. God delights in diversity. And when it comes to your marriage, God also delights in the diversity of the character of each couple. One of the wonderful aspects of God's church is the diversity that's seen in our unity. And I'm glad that God doesn't call us all to be the same. God wants us to be different. And in that difference, and in that diversity, you bring something unique to that relationship. And whatever God has gifted you with, whether it's something small or something very big in nature, whatever it is that God has gifted you with, you keep working on that for the glory of Christ and using it in your marriage. You may be sitting here today and you're like, Brother Dave, you don't understand. My self-esteem is shot. You know, she makes more money than me. You know, and I feel like I'm less of a man. Or maybe you've got some type of handicap where your wife has to work and you can't. Or maybe the roles are reversed. Maybe the husband's doing all the work and the labor and the wife can't contribute in some type of nature. And you feel like you are the lesser person. You need to know that you are not the lesser person. That God has given you unique giftedness within your marriage to be used for His honor and for His glory. Let me illustrate. Craig Barnes was a pastor of the National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., and he was able to conduct the funeral of the man that helped to develop the famous Boeing 747 aircraft. After the service, he went up to the widow. And he began talking to the widow, and he said how remarkable it was for her late husband to help build such a stunning aircraft. And they were talking a little bit, and this is what the widow said to the pastor. She said, "The truth is, he worked on one little switch box, smaller than a loaf of bread. That's all he worked on for 15 years. But when that 747 lifted off the ground for the first time, it was one of the happiest days of his life." You think about that. For over a decade, all he did was work on one tiny little piece of equipment, one small switch box, smaller than a loaf of bread. Yet that plane could have never lifted off the ground without his contribution. And you may be saying, Brother David, my giftedness and my effort in the marriage, it is so small and it's not as big as my mates, and I feel like that my diversity isn't counting. You need to know it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what type of giftedness you have. What you have to offer in the marriage, as small as it may be the thing necessary to help you to get off the ground. Somebody help me preach. It may be necessary to help you find and discover the will of God for your life. You're never going to fly and soar above your problems until you see that God has uniquely gifted you in such a way to be a blessing and not a burden to the marriage. Somebody say amen. And so unity is needed within that marriage. Diversity is needed within that marriage. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 to verse 13, he talks about diversity. God's given us diversity for these reasons. Listen, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, that is for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ." In those verses, very quickly, he says three important things. Number one, diversity is for equipping. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. God has given us pastors and evangelists and missionaries within the ministry. He's given us gifted individuals within the body of Christ in order to equip us. And you need to understand that what's true in ministry is true in your marriage. That God has given each of you unique giftedness. He's given you abilities. He's given you certain qualities that you are to use in order to mature that marriage and help that marriage be all that it needs to be for the honor of Christ. Diversity is for equipping. Diversity is also for encouraging. Listen to what the Bible says. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God has given us gifted individuals within the church in order to encourage one another, And in your marriage, your wife is a gifted individual. Your husband is a gifted individual. And the diversity that they bring into the home, that diversity is there to equip one another. That diversity is there to encourage one another. In verse number 13, diversity should be so enduring. The Bible says, till we all come into the unity of faith. And so, looking at this tonight, people who are broken together, who decide to pick up all their faults and their failures and their flawed character and their flawed ways, they've learned to do life together. They are people who display the reality of unity that is manifested and diversity that is maintained. But last of all, in verse number 31, look what Paul says. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. My last point for verse 31 is going to be maturity is multiplied. Maturity is multiplied. When you look at the text, and again, the context is talking about ministry, that all of us have a unique giftedness that we bring to the body of Christ, that every person counts and every person matters. Doesn't matter what you do in the body of Christ, it all affects all of us and impacts all of us for the glory of Christ. You need to be exercising your spiritual gift. You need to be using your unique talents and giftedness within the body of Christ. Why? It helps me. As I use mine, it helps you. As we do it together, it helps one another. And this is the context of chapter number 12, doing life together as the body of Christ. But as I said, when we look at it from a marriage point of view, there is a maturity that should be multiplied not only in ministry, but also within marriage. The more excellent way that he talks about in verse number 31, he is talking about maturing together in love. Maturing together in love. When you turn the page from chapter 12 to chapter 13, you'll quickly find that Paul is talking about love. And the entire chapter of chapter 13 is the love chapter. And so he builds this up in chapter 12, how ministry ought to be done together, and there's different gifts. And the church of Corinth, if you know the history behind it, some of them were wanting, they coveted the more important gifts that they wanted. Some had lesser gifts. They all wanted to have the same giftedness, the more prominent gifts. And Paul says, there's no need to strive for all of that. There's no need to strive for a gift in order to be seen. The most important thing in your life and my life is not our giftedness, but it's our ability to love one another within our giftedness. It's our ability to love. It's our ability to forgive. It's our ability that through the tough times, we can learn to be tender. And Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And in chapter number 13, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, if I do not have love, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And maybe today the music and the melody in your marriage is gone and it just sounds like a bunch of noise. The reason why it sounds like a bunch of noise is there's no love within the home and within the heart. Somewhere in your brokenness, you decided to go solo. Somewhere in your brokenness, you decided to go a separate way. Instead of learning to have mutual acceptance, instead of learning to have unconditional love, instead of learning to have help and to share with one another and forgiveness and tenderness in the home. Today your life is broken and shattered, going different directions, and I want you to know that Christ can put you back together again, but you have to decide, listen, to mature in the faith. And maturing in the faith means excelling in love. You know, I found something very fascinating about Canadian geese. And I came across this as I was studying, and I really don't know how I came across it, but I began reading about it and started searching the internet, trying to find out why geese fly in a V formation. And I don't know why, but I just started looking at this, and it just started intriguing me. Those geese will form a V formation, and they will fly consistently in that formation. And I found out that there was actually a study that was on geese and why they flew in a V formation. And they discovered that each bird, as it flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the birds that follow behind. Actually, the lead bird will actually interchange in and out of formation in order to get some rest and allow somebody else to lead for a little while.
and then it will take its spot back, and the lead bird will go back up, and it will begin to fly as fast as it can. And every bird together, it actually produces wind and an uplift. And here's what's amazing. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock, listen to this, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flight range. They fly faster and longer, and they reduce any type of drag. Listen, here's the point. Flying together makes the flying more enjoyable, with less effort and less friction. Flying together, working together, it gives them an uplift of encouragement, it reduces friction, and they can go faster, and they can go longer, soaring above all the things below. I want you to know, likewise, when you come together in maturity, staying in a faithful formation of godliness, staying within the character of God, formating a godly plan for your marriage and for your home and for your life, you will not feel the drag of the world pulling you down. Your marriage will soar to new heights with less friction. You can take advantage of the lifting power of the Holy Spirit of God to encourage your marriage when you do life together. Somebody say amen. Listen, this morning, let me remind you, we are all broken in many different ways. And Brandy, you can go ahead and come to the piano. We're all broken in many different ways. I'm broken in a lot of ways. You don't believe me? Just ask my wife. She's got a long, long list, like Santa Claus's gift list, of all my faults and failures. And I have a lot of mishaps, and I'm sure that you have the same. But here's what God is asking us to do this morning. God is wanting us to do life broken together. And I don't know what your situation may be. I don't know what's happening in your life right now. I don't know where your marriage is at. Maybe you're thinking about calling it quits. Maybe you started the letter already. Maybe you've talked to a lawyer this week and you said, I'm done. I'm calling it quits. I don't love them no more. Our marriage is so broken. His or her life is so broken. I'm done. I want you to know, friend, you may have given up on the marriage, but God's not giving up on you. And I want to encourage you today to be broken together, to take your brokenness to God and say, God, just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Lord, fix my marriage. Lord, fix me. Do something in my heart. Maybe you spent so long praying for your mate and telling God all about your wife or your husband, all of his faults and all of his failures. Maybe you need to look within your own heart today and say, Lord, before you fix them, I want you to fix me. I want you to do something in me and help me to do life broken.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.